It's nothing to be ashamed of.
Then why do I have this overwhelming desire to apologize?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 2, Episode 15, Under the Mistletoe. And now
Sorry.
I mean, I think that's fine. Everyone knows who we are by this point. Let's Same. Keep going. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
D-Bunting.
Hey, Sarah and Dawn. How's it going?
It sucks.
I am your co-host, Tara Ariano. With me, as always, Sarah D. Bunting. Of course, our very professional producer, David T. Cole.
Thank you, Tara.
Oh, no. Before we get into today's episode, of course, it is Christmas in July, under the mistletoe.
I'm so glad you said it.
We do have another episode of Again With This, our Patreon bonus episodes coming July 24th. This time, we are going to be talking about Jenny Garth's guest appearance on The Mick. Caitlin Olsen's Fox sitcom lasted a tight 2 seasons on Fox. That's season 2, episode 10, The Climb. It's on Hulu and also anywhere else you can buy TV episodes. Knew nothing about this before picking it other than that she was in it. Got kind of a fun surprise when I actually watched it. So,
really? I thought you were a Mick... ist.
No, we can get into it when we actually talk about the episode. But yeah, I knew nothing about her particular guest appearance on it. And vaguely, I had only watched the pilot.
Gotcha.
We'll talk about when we get to it.
We will.
Yeah. Patreon.com/againwiththis to become a supporter and get access to all of our past bonus episodes and all of our future bonus episodes as long as you are a supporter. So yeah, The Mick, season 2, episode 10, The Climb, our discussion of that dropping July 24th. And now, Under the Mistletoe, let us start with our B plot. Jane hands Michael off to Nurse Ratched while Sydney has a religious epiphany. Yes, really. Jane comes home with Christmas shopping to find that Michael only decorated the bottom half of her tree before descending into self-pity. Clip 2.
I thought you were going to get the lights on.
Oh, yeah. I got halfway up and I ran into a little obstacle.
Oh, come on. It's not that big.
You know, a dwarf tree would have been better, or maybe a gimp tree. Maybe they have gimp trees. You know, trees for the handicapped. No tree taller than 2 feet.
All right, so what do you want me to do?
Well, unless you can figure out a way to get me out of this chair, there's not a hell of a lot you can do.
You're the only one who can do that, Michael. At least that's what your doctors and therapists keep saying.
Oh, damn it. Don't you see? This is all a lie. Decorating trees. Us living together. Me pretending I'll get out of this chair someday. And you're in love with someone else. Not me, and that's not going to change, is it?
Once again, this is about Robert.
This is about me being half a man. And that's not a life. That's a joke.
So, I mean, at this point in the episode, I thought this was just manipulation, and it is kind of, but it is mostly him being legitimately depressed, which is, you know, sad.
I read it as full manipulation, so.
Okay. I mean, it can be 2 things, but I think it's mostly really like him just being despondent because he thought things were going to go a certain way just by him being there, and it's not. You know, he's sensing the limits of his powers over her now, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, the next day. Michael has knocked a fruit bowl off the top of the fridge and is helplessly looking at the wreckage, which, by the way, rude of Jane to put the fruit bowl on top of the fridge in the first place. First of all, like weird place to put fruit, like the top of a fridge can be hot. Like, that's also not good for the fruit, but rude to do to the person that lives with you who, you know, is using a wheelchair at the moment. Think, Jane, maybe? Anyway, yeah. So he's struggling to pick up all the fruit when Jane comes back in with, hey, it's that Marianne Mueller Lyle. I have no idea how to pronounce that German last name. So many letters. But if you look at her in the visual aids, you'll go, oh yeah, her. She's been in everything.
Hey, it's that mean nurse or concierge. Totally.
For sure. Apparently, Michael is also experiencing a temporary paralysis of his manners, as we hear in clip 3.
Who's this?
Colleen. Colleen is Michael.
How do you do, Michael? I thought we agreed no nurse.
I don't have a choice. I'm not going to be here this weekend. I'm spending Christmas with Robert at his place.
I see. And I don't have any say in this.
No, actually, you don't. I've decided that I'm not going to let you ruin my Christmas. I'm sorry if that disappoints you, but that's the way it's going to be.
I don't believe this. I really don't.
Here's a list of numbers where I'll be, names of neighbors if you need anything.
What, no bedtime? You always got to give the sitter a bedtime.
Goodbye, Michael. Merry Christmas.
It is a bit rude to give her a list of, like, names of the neighbors. Kind of a babysitter move.
Yeah. No sugar after 6 o'clock.
Like... He is allowed to use the phone himself. Anyway, when Jane has gone, Michael tries everything, but he can't fire Colleen because she doesn't work for him. She doesn't care to leave to be with her own family because she gets double time during the holidays. And also, clip 4.
As for the self-pity act, it really annoys me. So keep it to yourself and we'll both get along a lot better.
Colleen!
Yeah. I mean, he needs to hear it. Right now, he also needs a bath and is not happy to hear that from her. Over to Sydney, Lauren finds her working a shift at Shooters, and Joe watches from another table as Lauren slides Sydney a vial of Coke, like, fully across the table. Like, they're in a corner, but they're really quite exposed. Also, you can see this in the visual aids. The vial has, like, a little... like a little chain on it, like it goes on a keychain.
I mean, enough people use keys to do cocaine, or so I've read.
Sure.
I guess that makes sense, but mm-hmm. I'm a little surprised that she didn't attach like a novelty license plate with Sydney's name on it. Greetings from Niagara Falls.
Yeah. I was curious, like, is she getting these vials back? Because they can't be cheap, you know? Like, she's going through a lot of materials to keep her girls, you know, supplied. I don't know. But I also thought, like, oh, that's really cute and clever. And I wonder if you could repurpose those for, like, I don't know, fun dip? Anyway.
seed beads. Sure.
Yeah. So she finds out there is also a date who goes with this cocaine re-up. And Lauren goes on in clip 5.
You know, Sid, now that you're my number one girl, I should really think about dumping this job.
I can't. You know, it's kind of like my cover with my sister and everyone.
Have it your way. Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year's.
You too.
Hey, who was that?
Oh, another irate customer. Guess can't please everyone.
Sid, wait. What's that for? Your tip.
Oh, right. Thanks. See you, Joe.
Yeah, great. Great cover. Also, how is Sydney... This is why I asked for this clip. How is Sydney Lauren's number one girl when she won't even do fairly straightforward BDSM?
Yeah.
Like, did every other girl quit for the holidays?
Right.
We'll be talking more extensively in this and the next episode about Melrose's extremely elastic understanding of how holidays work, but mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, I wondered that as well. Like, I refuse to believe there's any sex worker stable in which this version of Sydney, who's been doing it for like a week and a half, has jumped ahead in the rankings of Gina Gershon. Like, sorry, I don't.
No.
Anyway, Sydney's in a much more context-appropriate red mini dress on her date with a balding middle-aged guy, not trying very hard to act like she thinks he's sexy as she kneels at his feet and asks what he wants her to do. And he gently takes her hand off his arm and says, it seemed like a good idea when he called, but now he's not that into it. He had nowhere else to go on Christmas, and could they just talk? And Sydney, who has learned quickly, tells him the price is the same, so he asks about her. And she lies that she goes to college and plans to be a clothing designer and basically describes the person that she wishes she were, talented, confident, with a bright future ahead of her. And then I guess that gets him in the mood because he then comes around and sits on the bed and starts kissing her cheek and either doesn't notice or care that she's fully crying. It's, you know,
yeah,
it's not great.
No, it's not. Although Laura Layton acts the shit off it.
She does.
Yeah, she's really impressive.
Yeah, she is so much like so far ahead of honestly everyone else on this show, maybe other than Heather Locklear. It's quite striking.
It is.
Back at Jane's, speaking of people that Laura Layton is out acting.
Yeah.
Nurse Colleen is trying to snap Michael out of his bad attitude. He says, possibly for the first time, that maybe he will never practice medicine again, and maybe he's too self-centered, which, you know, good that he's come to this realization. Doubt it's going to last, but, you know, he got there for a time. After her date, Sydney drives someone's car, unclear whose, I don't think it's ever been established she had one, to a church and walks in. It's mostly empty, but a shitload of candles are lit and a children's choir is singing, which, by the way, not how churches work. They don't just have children's choirs like hanging out late at night.
No.
Singing.
No, they don't.
During not mass. Anyway, Sydney heads for a confessional and tells the priest her sins, like she's lied about how she earns her money. Clip six.
See, Father, I'm a prostitute. I give men sex for money. And I use drugs now sometimes, too. Make it easier. It's a mess. I am ashamed. I am so ashamed.
Again, bad writing, good acting.
Yeah, very. I mean, I sometimes find myself wondering if there are nearly as many Catholics in the general, like, in real life population
mm-hmm.
as there are on TV, so they can go to confessionals.
Yeah.
And explain to a priest who presumably is familiar with the work of one Mary Magdalene,
sure.
What prostitutes do, like, just in case you're unclear, supposedly celibate guy.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's, I'm so ashamed, but she really sells it. I gotta give it to her.
Yeah. I would also note, as a sometime Catholic, that, you know, you don't necessarily have to be one to go and do confessional.
Yeah. I would also note that we don't know what, like, what's the upshot? Did she get like 17,000 Our Fathers? What's the
I wondered that also.
Yeah, like, what is the penalty for that in the confessional space? I just wanted to make one other observation about the, like, drug aspect of this generally, which is that we're really not seeing that reflected in, like, if Laura Layton were directed to act like she was on coke, she would know how to do it, and
yeah.
She hasn't been.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm kind of unclear on what the point of the drug thing is. Like, maybe there's a sting in her future, and we'll see, but
mm-hmm.
it's just sort of weird that it's like, why bother dragging this in if you're not going to have it manifested in her scenes anywhere? It's weird.
Yeah, this was the first time, because we've seen her receive coke in more than one episode to this point.
Yeah.
But this is the first time we've seen her say she's doing it, and we've never seen her do it.
Yeah, it's a little surprising that a soap would be like, oh, we're not going to Like, we're not going to go there with the drugs that she has in her possession. Like, isn't that half the point of doing this plot line?
Right.
Is the downward spiral? Okay.
Yeah. It's weird to me to think that, you know, it would be a standards and practices thing that it wouldn't be permitted for them to show it. Like, I can't imagine.
No, I can't either, because we saw Jackie Taylor doing it in the same universe, and that was 2 years before that, or
yeah,
3 years before that. So
right. Even if all they did was like show her, you know, shake out a line and then drop her head out of frame so that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, while Sydney is spilling her guts, Nurse Colleen comes back from getting groceries to find Michael dressed up and showered because he wants her to take him over to the Christmas party at Robert's house. And she refuses because Michael was not invited and Colleen will not participate in his making a fool of himself. So Michael calls a cab and makes sure it'll be accessible because he has learned how to be self-sufficient. That was quick. Good job, Colleen. At said party, Robert makes a nice toast to Jane and her crushed velvet bolero. Just kidding. He doesn't say that, but she is wearing one. She wears a lot, by the way, of crushed velvet in like every scene of this episode. I mean, I know it's Christmas, but it's still a lot. And you can see it in the visual aids.
Yeah.
Another guest calls him away. Jane steps out onto the balcony just in time to see Michael's cab pull up downstairs. And she makes it down there before he can get to the door and starts yelling at him, obviously. But he ignores her because his cab is leaving and he meant to tell the guy to wait. He's not there to make a scene. He just wanted to apologize to both her and Robert, who shows up just then. Michael repeats the apology to both of them. He's been a complete bastard. He never wanted to end up like this as a burden to anyone, and he had no right to get in the way of their relationship. Robert accepts his apology and turns to bring Jane upstairs, but Jane doesn't want to leave Michael there. Michael says Jane is right and wishes them a Merry Christmas, but clip 7.
I'm sorry, Robert. I'm not leaving him here. I'm going to drive him home. I'll call you later.
You know what? Don't bother.
Finally, fuck.
I mean, okay, yes. Like, either she could give Michael a lift and come right back, or else just stay there until Robert, like, okay, go up and call him a cab. I'll just sit here until it comes, and then I'll be right back. Like, Michael is a shithead. He's still a person, and it's Christmas. Like, I know it's LA. It's still cold. You don't have to leave him sitting on the sidewalk by himself while he waits for someone to come and get him. I don't know. I get Robert's point. What?
I mean,
yes.
I'm fine with it. Maybe, like, you're being kinder to the other characters besides Michael who don't know what we know, namely that he's, you know, puppet mastering pretty much constantly.
Yeah, of course.
But it's like, I just assumed that off screen, this is just one more iteration of her being like, well, but I can't leave him alone. Like, well, then come up with a plan for him to either take care of himself or have someone take care of him, not in your house when we're trying to have a relationship.
Yeah.
I was your divorce attorney. He's got to go.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I'm kind of with Robert that it's like, you were supposed to have made your choice and you didn't. So bye.
I hear what you're saying. I also just think, like, this is a problem that could be solved in 20 minutes.
Well, that's the other thing, that it's like, one of you go upstairs and call the cab company that he called to get here. It's,
right.
Yeah, it's not that difficult.
Right. Whatever. None of that happens. Michael starts to roll away and Jane stops him and starts pushing him towards her car, as he obviously intended her to do. After her confession, Sydney tries to sneak up to her apartment without joining the Christmas party, which we will get to. Jane comes to bring her over, but Sydney says she's all partied out and starts crying as she wishes Jane a Merry Christmas. And somehow, Jane is still at her place Christmas morning. She has not gone back to Robert's and is refusing a gift that Michael says he ordered her a few weeks ago when she first let him move in. She relents and opens it and finds little dangly yellow gold earrings with red stones. They're fine. I mean, as jewelry on this show goes, they're in like the upper tier.
they're curve busters for sure.
I was like, I'm not into gold, but you know, if they were silver, I would wear those. All right.
And they're very 94.
For sure.
Those in silver in a bunch of colors. So yeah, well done.
Yeah. You can see anyone pairing them with like a lariat necklace.
Uh-huh.
Or a choker, of course. Uh-huh. Also, of course, she has a gift for him too. It's an ugly Cosby sweater you can see in the visual aids. And while he is admiring it, Jane goes to answer a knock at the door. It is Robert. He asks her to come out to the courtyard so that he can apologize, and he pulls a gift out of his pocket. Michael wheels over to the window to watch Jane open it. It's a diamond on a yellow, real yellow gold chain. Less interesting than Michael's, but definitely more expensive. And as Sarah noted in her shot for the visual aids, they try to make it look more impressive with like a glint.
It's still a like, huge glint. It's like a Clarence and Miriam from It's a Totally Happening Life glint that I was like, hey, guys. No, it's right in line with the other Gavone jewelry that usually shows up on the show. So I think Michael wins this round, but he does not seem to agree.
No, and he watches them, you know, through the blind slats as they kiss, and he feels sad. And once again, a piece of a necklace is a linchpin of feelings at Christmas, much as it was last year with Allison and Billy and his ugly piece of jewelry that he got for her. Sydney is still in her mini dress from the night before when Lauren shows up looking amazing to deliver Sydney's gift, which is a basket of wine. And she adds that it's proceeds to benefit Planned Parenthood, which Lauren thinks is hilarious. But, you know, vertical integration, gotta love it.
I mean, yeah, especially on a Fox show.
Yeah.
I was into that reference.
Sydney doesn't acknowledge that and gives Lauren the cash from the night before. She's giving Lauren all of it because she's quitting. Lauren understands completely, but says it's a shame. She lets Sydney have her whole nut from the night before and wishes her good luck, adding that Sydney can always call. Well, that was deceptively easy, but surely it's the end of that forever. Cough, cough. It's the end of that for now. Moving on. To our A-plot, Billy and Allison find their way back toward each other while Dr. Russia finds her way back to guess where. After a soft focus montage of him fucking Amanda the night before, a surprisingly uncovered Billy, which you can see in the visual aids because I'm a pervert and I took a shot, wakes up alone in Amanda's bed. When she comes in fully dressed and fully relaxed, he gets all awkward and starts gathering his clothes to get the fuck out. She calmly says that given the turmoil in their other just ended relationships, it's natural that they would go for a reunion tour and further lies that he was great last night. I doubt it. But he still feels like he needs to apologize. And he has an unbuttoned shirt, boxers, and one shoe on when there's a knock at the door, which he hides behind when Amanda asks who it is and hears it's Allison. Her outfit. Do you want to describe this? It's
a Eeyore court jester of Christmas.
Sure.
She looks like a carousel. The skirt is like a carousel tent, and then she's wearing a red blazer. Like, I mean, it's very 94, and I guess it's fine. At least it has a shape.
Yeah.
But, ugh.
Well,
yeah.
I had a more specific California reference. I know you have never lived there, but I did a side-by-side in the visual aids, which you can see. Because the skirt is like color blocked vertical stripes, I had in my notes, she looks like she's a manager of hot dog on a stick. And I stand by that because that's what those uniforms look like. So take a trip to the visual aids and tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. But she's like a fancy regional manager who wears a mini skirt and no name tag. Yeah,
exactly. So Allison wanted to catch Amanda before work because she's so behind on her Christmas shopping. She hoped she could have the day off. She's already dressed for the office. Like, now is not the time to ask, but whatever. As Billy hilariously grimaces, Amanda sweetly asks Allison in for coffee. And as she enters, Billy creeps out and has just crept home, partially dressed still from his dirty night with Amanda, which when adorable Nikki appears to give him a Christmas tree ornament. She custom decorated with his name. She did them for all of Matt's neighbors. They do not deserve her. She is so cute in this episode. Oh,
she is so cute in this episode. And we're like pretty cute kid proof around here. You may have noticed, but oh, she is adorables.
Really? She really is. This is not the first time we're going to say that, I predict.
No.
So Billy has barely put himself back together in Jake's kitchen when Jake himself comes out of the bathroom shirtless, which thank you. But Jake probably wouldn't even notice Billy's dishabille because he is still torn up about the Palmer situation, which he recaps for Billy. Leave it to the professionals. Allison then comes to that door and Jake lies that Billy isn't back yet. Apparently, Allison did not get the day off because she asks Jake to have Billy come by D&D after work. It's the office Christmas party. And when she's gone, Billy catches Jake up on his drama, but it gets awkward. Clip 8.
Sounds to me like she's looking for a reconciliation.
You don't understand. She went up to Steve's ranch to sleep with them.
Yeah, well, she got back awful quick if that's what she did. If I were you, I'd give her a chance to explain. It's a hell of a lot more than Amanda did for me.
And then they cut to Billy, and Andrew Shue is like bug-eyed and chewing his nails. It's like maybe some of his best oh fuck acting of the season. You can see it in the visual aids. Adorable Nikki then comes back to Matt's for breakfast. He tells her he hasn't been able to reach Dr. Russia on the phone due to a strike in Moscow, but he mailed Nikki's letters to Dr. Russia and Santa. He realizes that she still hasn't told him what she wants for Christmas, and she says it's to have a party for all the neighbors, and she also wishes she could see snow again, which I guess she remembers from Russia. And he suggests renting White Christmas, but the rest he can guarantee. And then Allison is out Christmas shopping on her lunch hour with Joe, who wishes she could go to sleep that night and wake up on January 2nd, because last Christmas Eve was her first kiss with Jake. Allison's always felt like Christmas could fix anything, but she doesn't think Billy's going to forgive her. And Joe agrees he probably won't, not before Christmas. And Allison, guess what? Whines about it. Clip 9.
But I didn't sleep with Steve. I went up to his ranch and I told him I love Billy. Steve and I are finished.
Talk like an adult woman. Why are you like this?
Also, once again, you should have just fucked Steve since you're going to pay the price for it anyway.
Honestly, I mean, spoiler, this is the next episode, but for real, for real. Anyway, Allison hopes that when Billy hears that, he will take her back. But Joe thinks that she and Allison should spend Christmas together without men, which is a great idea. And I'm back to queering both of these characters. Just let it happen. They clearly want it to, but it doesn't. Spoiler. So Billy does show up at DMD when the party's in full swing, and Amanda is thrilled to see him. He tries to interrupt to tell her why he's actually there, but she keeps talking and she's been horny for him all day again. Improbable, but fine. And instead of agreeing that he's horny for her as well, he asks whether she has told anyone about them, and she doesn't question why he would ask that, just saying she thought it would be more fun to keep it their secret and taking off to get him eggnog. And while she's gone, Billy runs into Allison, who pulls him aside. Clip 10.
Before you say anything, I have to tell you what happened at the ranch.
It doesn't matter.
Nothing happened. I looked at him and I realized that he has qualities that really aren't important to me. That you're what's important to me. What we had and still have. The comfort of something we worked so hard for that in the end really works. I love you. And I want us to get back together. I know it might be too late.
It is. Whether or not you slept with him isn't the point. It's that you wanted to.
Billy, please.
No. The answer's no.
What's that all about? Oh, nothing much. It's another Christmas wish up in smoke.
And the smug look that Amanda greets that with is so gorgeous. You can see it in the visual aids. She's like,
I mean,
yes!
Yeah, like it's Billy, but queen. Here's the thing, Allison, you're the safe, familiar, comforting option.
Yeah.
This is not your play.
No.
Not when he just, not that she knows this, but like he, you know, he has fucked Amanda. Like,
yeah,
I wouldn't. wouldn't be like, I can wear, you know, men's boxer shorts in front of you. Like, that doesn't work, dude. No. Also, you should have fucked Steve.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. So Amanda's on her way out another day when she runs into Jake, blocking her path down the stairs to try to force her to talk to him. She repeats her threat to evict him once she figures out how, which doesn't sound as badass as she thinks. She thinks that when the FBI came to him, he should have warned her and Palmer, but now it's too late and her father is ruined, as is anything that ever was between Jake and Amanda. She says her one mistake was not listening to Palmer when he warned her not to get involved with a gold-digging grease monkey, which, yikes. I mean,
ow.
She's nice angry, 50s but...
50s time machine you got for Christmas there, tomato. Yeah.
A little rough. So that night, Nikki excitedly tears into a box of presents from Dr. Russia, which comes with a note saying that she won't be back for Christmas, but we'll miss her terribly, and she and Matt snuggle up in a chair, and it's cute. Billy and Jake are out shopping for a Christmas tree while, unbeknownst to them, Allison and Joe are doing the same. Jake is in the middle of telling Billy to reconcile with Allison when they realize that they're all looking at the same tree. Jake suggests that instead of fighting over this one, they can all get one huge one for the courtyard. Yay. When they get back, Joe remembers that they still have lights in the basement. When she and Jake go off to get them, Allison tells Billy she volunteered him to play Santa at Nikki's Christmas party. However, he's going to be on his way to spend Christmas in Denver with his mother, and she tells him to give his family her best. After the commercial, it's Christmas Eve, and we go to LAX, clip 11.
Passenger Bill Taylor, please meet you.
Spoiler, not happening.
No. Yeah, turns out Billy did not have a ticket and just thought he would show up and wing it on Christmas Eve. Seriously, why is Billy so dumb? Like, why is he so dumb? Why? The first gate agent he talks to is Lynn Henderson, who you may remember as Nurse Pamela from ER. I thought the second one was Wendy Malick based on her voice, but it's not. And the third is Daphne Zuniga's sister, Jennifer. Fun.
Oh, yeah. Merry Christmas to all.
Yeah, none of them can hook him up, however. That night at Nikki's party, Jake is salty with Amanda, who decides to leave him alone rather than fight with him in front of Nikki. And then in comes a very unconvincing Santa, Billy. Seriously, dude, like, pull up your mustache at least so it's under your nose, but whatever. Nikki is adorably, like, shy and excited, hiding behind Matt. She is so cute.
And then when Billy picks her up, she's like, I know it's you, but thanks. So cute.
Allison calls his appearance the best present ever. And Nikki is still hanging with fake Santa when Matt's phone rings. And then he screws up all his courage to come out and tell Nikki that her mom just called. They got cut off before he could put Nikki on. And Dr. Russia had great news. She's decided to stay in Moscow and she's got Nikki on a flight to come and join her there. And Nikki throws her arms around Matt, so excited to see her mommy, while Matt bravely chokes back his tears.
It's so cute.
It's so cute. Allison comes out Christmas morning, making one of her dumbest faces ever, which you can see in the visual aids. Can't really describe it. It's like a half smile, but you can still see her teeth. I don't know what she's doing. Matching Billy's dumb face because he's under the tree that she suddenly has, stuffing a stocking with his Santa hat on and looking like an idiot with his mouth hanging open catching flies. Also in the visual aids, of course. They don't have gifts for each other, but it doesn't matter. He realized he had overlooked the most important thing, which was that Allison chose him over Steve. And she says this, clip 12.
Oh, Billy, it was always you. You have to know that.
Well, I didn't. But now I do.
You know, I always wanted to kiss Santa Claus. That lap sitting never worked for me.
Now's your big chance. Oh man, am I glad I didn't get on that plane.
Me too.
Not me, I hate you. Dave is making a gorgeously disgusted face at the smacky kissing.
They are just so unconvincing. It's like two wet cotton balls smushed together.
It's true. And again, to like take us back to the beginning of the clip, she's like, Billy, you had to know it was always you. Like, it definitely was not. Like, that's the whole problem. Let's forget about them for a moment. Over to LAX, Nikki's flight is called. Matt gives her final instructions, clearly very emotional, promising they'll see each other again. I doubt it. Nikki reminds him that he promised not to cry, and he does a pretty good job keeping said promise. And the flight attendant comes to take Nikki's hand to walk her on, but they have barely gotten into the jetway before Nikki stops, turns back around, and races back to give Matt one very last hug and tell him she loves him, and he loses it and breaks, and she'll never forget him, never! And as Sarah said, we are canonically an anti-kid podcast, but God, these two are so cute together.
I like paused it to take a screen grab and I was like, I know you're crying. Like, I actually got sort of emotional. She is adorable.
Yeah.
It's also just a weird time. Like, mm-hmm. I, you know, cried at the outline of Robert Stack the other day. So a lot of shit is hitting me weird, but she is legit cute, I feel.
Yeah, there's a lot of gifs of the two of them in the visual aids. So if you want to be touched or, you know, perhaps get a little misty yourself, check those out. Obviously, that should have been the end. But instead, we have to go back to the complex and watch stupid Allison and stupid Billy schmooping under the mistletoe and Amanda coming down the stairs from her apartment just in time to see them kiss and wilt. And alas, that is the end of the episode.
Mm.
Let us close it up by naming our episode MVP. Mara Wilson is Nikki.
Yes.
Selling us on children.
Absolutely. A very honorable mention to Ms. Laura Layton.
Yeah. But honestly, Mara Wilson, once in a decade does a kid actor come along who like is so cute without being like annoyingly like saccharine, cloying, precocious, like in that gross way that kid actors are. And I'm sorry to see her go because she's really good in this role.
Yeah.
All right. Least valuable player.
Allison.
Yeah, I mean, if for no other reason, then like let's just say it again. Not fucking Steve when she might as well have.
Yeah.
I think it's fair.
You know, whining until she gets what she wants, and what she wants is bullshit.
Yeah. But I'm going to say Jane for letting herself, despite everything, be manipulated by Michael. Again, Jane,
yeah,
learn a lesson.
Yeah. Also, stop wearing all that crushed velvet. It's terrifying. Next time on Again With This, Jo gets a new love interest at her reunion. Allison gets kicked off the microcomp account. Palmer gets real with Amanda about the not-so-great car caper, and Sydney gets arrested. We should probably get arrested for misdemeanor retinal assault. For our visual aids, which you can find for this and every other episode of Again With This on our website. That's at againwiththispodcast.com, which is where you also can pre-order a very special Beverly Hills 90210 book. Not a bit. You can also follow us on Twitter at AWT90210, and you can join our Patreon page at patreon.com/againwiththis, where any level of support gets you extra content. I'm Self-Pity Act, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is pre-9/11 airport stuff, Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is Christmas Confession, David T. Cole. Talk to you next time. Ooh.
What?